Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Anyone who's ever worked in the public eye likely has a crazy fan story. It goes to reporters, entertainers, public figures of any kind. If you've worked there, you know about those people that want to get just a little bit too close for comfort. But what do you do?
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. I'm glad Todd said that there in the intro because I was like, oh, what's the phone number? I forgot the phone number.
It's an easy one.
833-HATE-JOB. I said, remember the 833 part because it's a toll-free number if you're playing along at home. I remember when like 800 was it.
Yeah.
Like 1-800. And then it was a big deal when 888 came out. It was like, oh, wow, that's toll-free too. Now there's like 30 different combinations of like toll-free numbers because they've run out of toll-free numbers. Remember 900 numbers?
No.
Nine, like 1-900, those were like, there was like sex lines typically.
Oh, well, that's why I don't remember them.
Well, of course you would. I mean, they were on late at night and everyone called them for fun.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I guess I missed the TV where that was on.
It was like after like the late local news, if they would typically be like infomercials and stuff, be like, call 1-900-LEXI or whatever it was.
I don't remember any of that.
Yeah. It was like a big deal. This is like, this is pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
This is pre, you know, people can just click and, you know, there you go. It was, you'd call these phone numbers. I remember like trying to prank call them.
Uh-huh.
And I think I remember doing that like in junior high because some of them would have things where it would be like you get the first 3 minutes free or something like that. And I would just call as like the strangest people on earth. And yes, I'm sure many of them involved animals. But I just remember doing really weird voices and just saying the crazy stuff, seeing if I could get the people to hang up on me. Mm-hmm. Because once the 3 minutes was up, then it was, you know, put your credit card in for whatever. Being a 14-year-old boy, I didn't have a credit card. But I just remember just wasting people's time. That's what I did. That's an Office Horror Story right there. 833-HATE-JOB. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number if you want to share your office horror story with us. And when we say office horror story, it's about the living. It's about bad bosses. It's about crazy coworkers. It's about that sort of horror story. The stuff you go, you can't make this shit up. Our first letter today, it says, hi. So my story is from about a year ago. I work as a nurse at a children's clinic. I had a family come in for their well checks, and one of the requirements is that they must get a finger stick at certain ages. I had this preteen boy come in and completely lose it when he found out he had to get his finger stuck. In addition to this, he also had to get his immunizations. We had to have two nurses and his mom help hold him down while he got his finger stick. While we were doing this, he kept screaming, you can't do this to me. I'm an American citizen. After this whole ordeal, he still had to get his shots once the doctor was done with him. Before the doctor went into his room, he decided he wanted to go to the bathroom. After 10 minutes, we decided to go look for him in the bathroom, and the boy was nowhere to be found. We searched the whole clinic for about 20 minutes, including the parking lot. All the nurses were pitching in, trying to help locate the boy. One nurse found the little boy who was coming out of the bathroom, and since he was fitting in the description of her patient, she brought him to us, thinking that she had found him. The look on that boy's face was priceless. He was absolutely mortified. After a while, the patient appeared. He had been hiding in the family vehicle, or so he claimed. We decided to hold off on shots and have him come back later after what had just happened. Afterwards, we were all laughing about the incident with a mistaken identity. We even made up a nickname for the nurse who very innocently made the mistake of bringing the wrong child back to us.
Gosh. And that's the worst when you're at a clinic and you're told you have to get shots when you're little.
Uh-huh.
So you bring some other random kid in that probably doesn't need shots and you tell him he's going to need his shots.
God. We got a stray here.
Oh, gosh.
Just bring him in. Oh, God. God, it just makes you wonder, like, what would you do if you were the parent and, like, you're just waiting for your kid to come out of the bathroom and you come, they're gone.
Well,
and it turns out a nurse that took him to the other.
And, you know, they're that age, you know.
Sure.
Preteen boy, there's no real easy holding them in your lap anymore while they get it shot.
No, especially when they're shouting they're an American citizen.
Yeah.
God, what sort of shots do you get? I'm trying to remember, but I remember getting like the, what was the one where it was like four pricks into your arm?
The MMR?
Yeah.
Measles, mumps, rubella.
And people always claim that that gives you like a permanent scar. Did you have a permanent scar from that?
I didn't have a permanent scar, but I thought that one was the most painful.
Okay.
But it could be the person giving the shot as well. I don't know. I don't know. But as far as shots go, that's the one that I remember the most.
It's like a big... Why do they have to give it that? Of all the ways that you give it, why is it like... I mean, it looks like some sort of archaic thing where it's like four... It's like what I remember of it was like four needles, like all... together, and then it all, you know, it kind of goes in and out and it's done, but it's like simultaneous. Like, does it all, like, is it like what's that adhesive that we have to like mix the two together, like epoxy.
Epoxy, like it has to work together?
Yeah, it's like an epoxy they're putting in your arm.
I know eighth graders have to get some sort of shot. I don't know what it is though, but
yeah,
we have a one that's gonna look forward to that next year.
How did you handle shots when you were a kid?
You just suck up and do it.
You're good.
Yeah, I mean, I had the best pediatrician when I was little, even though his name was Dr. Payne, but it was spelled P-A-Y-N-E, but I never thought a thing about it until I was an adult, and I thought, oh, Dr. Payne, that sounds really bad.
Yeah, it does.
But he was awesome, and his nurse, she always would draw a bunny on my arm where I was going to get a shot, and so I would look forward to that. And
then, so it's like you're stabbing the bunny? I mean, what are we doing?
I don't know. It made it... I was distracted by her drawing a bunny on my arm, and then they gave me a shot.
Okay, so the bunny doesn't get the shot in it.
Yeah.
It does.
No. You get the bunny drawn while you're watching the bunny be drawn on your arm.
Okay.
When you're four, it totally works. When you're 14, it doesn't work anymore.
I misunderstood. I thought you meant like they drew a bunny and then the bunny got the shot.
No.
Like, that's kind of weird.
That's mean.
It's like, we're going to draw a little girl on your arm and she's going to get a shot and she's the one that's going to feel the pain, but you're going to feel it too.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't, you know, put ink on children's skin like that anymore, but it worked when I was a kid.
It's not a bad idea.
No.
I'm going to try that when I have to do my shots. It's just like, I'm just going
to
draw
a bunny. You can ask the nurse to draw you a bunny.
Can you draw me a bunny? Be like, you're at the wrong office, sir. It might go wrong. So, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB. If you want to share your office horror stories with us, next letter says, "Hey guys, I live in Virginia. 30 years ago, when I was 18, I interned at a newspaper. I thought at the time I might want to be a news journalist. There was a man several years older than me who was my mentor there for a very short time I interned, which was about 3 weeks. My internship ended and I was about... and I went about my life for the next 30 years, still writing, but choosing not to be a news journalist. I never corresponded with anyone at the newspaper again. One day last year, I went out to my mailbox in front of my home and found the oddest letter addressed to me. When I opened it, it was from the man who had mentored me those 3 weeks, all those years ago. I had forgotten his name, so it took me several minutes to realize who he was and even longer to figure out how he'd gotten my married name and my home address, which was not even in the same town as where I had interned years before. The most horrifying thing was that in the letter, he referenced my husband, my children, and said he had always had a thing for me. Keep in mind, we never had a thing or a fling ever when I interned there. It was so creepy. By far, the creepiest part was that he ended the letter by saying he never did any of the things they accused him of.
That's the worst ending to a letter ever.
At this point, I was scared what they had accused him of. My question is, did the letter say from the correctional department of anything?
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's...
Is he writing behind bars?
After doing some research, it turns out he had been arrested and spent time in prison for soliciting minors online for terrible things. Shocking that he's now writing the person he only has memory of interacting with when she was barely a minor. He also apparently had been stalking me and a few other women from his past online. That's how he got my address. He was not supposed to be using a computer as part of his parole agreement. There you go. Soon after, he was busted when his parole officer found out he'd been using a computer for these purposes. He's back in jail now, but who knows for how long. I wish I'd never done that internship. I'm not giving my name out of fear, but I'm someone who you have read a story from on the other podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online. Just call me D. There you go.
Wow. That's so creepy.
It is.
I don't even know. I've thankfully not ever had that kind of situation.
That is super creepy and wrong, especially all those years later.
Yeah.
Just like what that's like, oh God.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's lingering in his memory.
Mm-hmm.
God. We used to get letters at the radio station, and this is going to sound horrible, but we would get letters. We would run the Delilah program, which is a syndicated radio show that used to play love songs. I think in some markets it still does. In others, it just plays whatever the hell the station wants, and then she talks between the songs. And it people they would write. There's a lot of prison letters. That's what I'm getting to, that came in to the radio station for Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ripping on anybody that's in prison, but, and I get, you know, it was a nice escape. It can't be easy. Never been there. Don't want to be, but I'm glad Delilah could be an escape for some people, but holy shit, the content of some of those letters. It was just, and I remember at the time, to me, it felt like every time someone would call into that show, and this was in the late 90s, there'd be a very sad or extreme story of some sort, and she would relate to it in some way, shape, or form that was almost like questionable. It's like, you've been through that too? That's quite a defeat, what this person just described. Like, holy shit, you've been through that. Okay. And we started to kind of wonder, like, really? So these letters obviously never made it to air. The people thought this was a local show. It was not. It was a syndicated show. And us being assholes at the radio station, this is how horrible people are at radio stations. The letters, they didn't get forwarded to Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
They got put in the break room on the bulletin board. And then people would take highlighters and shit and like highlight the best parts. And then you go back to it and go, oh my God, I missed that part.
Wow. So you had fun with that.
Yeah, we had fun with that. It was pretty bad.
The whole letter writing with prisoners thing, I've never understood. Like, I had a boss who he met his wife. She wrote him when he was in prison. And that's how they met.
Oh, you don't get how from the outside you would find someone on the inside?
I guess
behind
so.
Bars, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What,
like what's going
or,
on in your
or
life?
How that pen pal arrangement even why?
Why would it start?
Why would it start?
Yeah.
You know, I don't get that. But and I'm sorry, I don't want letters from prisoners. So, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not saying letters from prisoners are horrible things. Sometimes, you know, people are in there, they're working on changing their life, and their entertainment is the radio. And sometimes you would actually get like not crazy letters. And mm-hmm. you're like, okay, you know, cool. You know, yeah. I'm glad I'm keeping you company.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with that whatsoever. But some you could, it's like this person needs more help than just sitting in the cell, mm-hmm. Clearly. But yeah, what you're saying with the let's, why would you feel the need, especially if it's not someone you even remotely know?
Yeah.
And I think there's services like that, or at least there
like
used to be.
Like a matchmaker?
Yes.
Oh.
There used to be, at least I remember hearing about that, where it's like date a prisoner. With all the methods and ways to communicate with people on the outside, why?
These two specific people, that might have been their only option for both of them.
Okay.
Honestly.
One of them ended back up. He went back, didn't he?
He did.
Back he went to prison. Back,
but not after he had a whole lot of fun when he was free.
Yeehaw!
God. That's a whole Office Horror Stories episode in itself.
I'm sure we'll get to those over the years. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I you know, if someone wants to enlighten us on that, I'm all ears. But I don't understand that concept.
No,
I get it if it's like, oh, this is a previous relationship or something.
Yeah,
it's,
that's different.
Yeah, but it's just like, I think I'm just gonna look for a hottie in behind bars today.
Yeah,
like what? Why?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. 833-HATE-JOB 833-HATE-JOB. Is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. Next one. I work in an office that's been remodeled from a warehouse. There are a few different occasions I've had weird things happen. I'll start out by saying there are certain rooms a lot of coworkers get weird feelings in, and that's always freezing cold. In a hallway, people get a bad feeling from, especially in the middle of the night. I just don't go down there late at night anymore. I started on second shift about 3 years ago. One day, I was walking down the hallway. This was in the middle of the day. First shift was still there. And I saw a pair of legs walk right into a shelving unit. That's right, just a pair of legs. The top of the jeans down to the shoes. Took me a minute to process what I had just seen. I walked over to see if I could find anything, and there was nothing. No one else had seen anything either. Second instance, I was walking through this room at 2 a.m. where the lights are turned off in there due to no one working in there at night, when I hear a loud bang. Scared the crap out of me, thinking someone was in there doing their count in the dark. I don't know why. And dropped something. I turned on the light, looked over the aisles. No one was there. I swore someone must have been messing with me. Either that or something fell from a desk. So I went through each row, making sure things were in order. And as I went towards the back of the room, I kept hearing rustling papers, keyboards typing from the row in front of me. But there wasn't anyone there. A few days later, I'm talking to a coworker about this, and she tells me she was in the room next door by herself around the same time that night, but on a different day, and she heard a loud noise, like a file cabinet drawer being slammed. Looking back, it's very likely that could have been the noise I heard, too. So the third time, I was going through a room where there are other people working, and I heard someone say my name, and I turn around, and no one had called me. I asked a friend if she had heard it, and she did not.
So I know usually we focus on the paranormal side of these stories, but I think, what would you do if you had asshole ghost coworkers? Because essentially they're there hanging out in your office.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get them fired. You can't even get them written up. There's nothing you can do.
I would say that there's been cases where I have been in an employment situation where it probably would have been easier to exorcise a demon from the workplace than the actual people. Like, seriously, it would have been an easier task because management, sometimes they just get so stuck on some people. And you can, like, you literally have to have one hell of a laundry list of shit to get those people fired. And I've done it. But it's like, holy shit,
mm-hmm.
what extreme do you have to go to? I don't know how I would handle that if I had a workplace that was doing that. I did work in a workplace where similar type things were happening there. Not to me, though.
Okay.
I didn't have those specific things happening, but almost everything they listed were things other people had talked about. The keyboards typing, mm-hmm. file cabinets moving around. I don't know. I mean, I did have a couple things happen at that one workplace. I heard keys you know, rustling and papers rustling and someone walking down a hall one day, walk down there, no one's there. I knew at that moment it was paranormal. Mm-hmm. Once I got down the hallway, but you know what? It didn't scare me. When I look back on it, I don't know why. It was like, that's weird. Like, I got a great story, but I didn't react like, oh, I can't be alone in here anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why that was a reaction.
Probably because it didn't give you an ominous feeling. It sounds like this is a very ominous feeling. And so, you know, beyond just having to work someplace at night, knowing that you're going to have that ominous feeling the whole time.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't get them fired.
Yeah. I don't know what you would do at that point. And you got to be kind of careful too, if you're going to like try and exercise the ghost out of your workplace. It's like, hey, look, what is all these herbs you have at your desk today? It's like, oh, there's a special on sage at the florist. You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I might not go with the best. 833-HEY-JOB, 833-HEY-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. It says, I've been an insurance agent for 20 years now. Now, I know not everyone loves insurance, but it is an honorable field, and one must be dang smart to work in it. The testing one must undergo and the knowledge one must possess is a lot. Just ask any agent. Anyhow, I think it depends on the type you're selling is... Yeah. Anyhow, I began my insurance career as an agent in a call center for one of the nation's top five insurance companies. Over the years, I was promoted through the rank of sales and training. And before I married and bought my own independent insurance agency, my last role at the call center was that of service supervisor, but a center that employed about 300 insurance agents and support staff, all professionals in the field. One weekend, I was sitting at my desk working when a female agent came around the corner with a look of sheer horror on her face. When I asked her what the matter was, she provided me with an answer for which I was not prepared. I don't know how to tell you this, so I'm just going to say it. Someone has wiped poop on the inside of the door of the first stall in the ladies' bathroom. It's disgusting. I'm sure I blurted out some explicative that would have made my mother shake her head in sorrow as I grabbed a sheet of paper, a pen, and some tape and jumped up from my chair. The agent led me to the largest of the two ladies' bathrooms, and with a bit of sustained drama, she opened the stall door and let me step in so I could see the evidence. Sure enough, there was an elongated S-shaped swirl made by two fingers from the top to the bottom of the door. Yep, some professional had decided that she needed to tap into her inner Picasso and proudly display her creativity in the most questionable of medium choices, poop. It was at this point that my horror turned to pure disgust and anger, causing me to let out more explicitives as I wrote out of order on the paper that I brought with me and taped it to the outside of the door and closed it. We then went on a mission to find the cleaning crew who would have just started the daunting task of cleaning our 63,000 square foot office building. Now, it's important to the story that you know that most of the cleaning staff did not speak much English, if any, and I only knew about enough Spanish at that time to get myself in trouble. In Texas, kids learn the bad words in Spanish at an early age so we can use them until our parents catch us with no exception. Anyway, the agent who found the carnage, and I finally found out one of the ladies from the housekeeping crew and I, ever so politely said, accompanied with my weird form in sign language so she'd get my message, ma'am, someone wiped doo-doo on the back of the first stall in the ladies' room. Could you clean it up before you start on the rest of the building? To which she responded with a blank stare. Crickets. Crap, I thought. No pun intended. I got to figure out how to convey this message to her. So I dug into the recesses of my brain and blurted out, there's caca on the porto in the bano. Oh, she exclaimed with the same look of horror I must have had on my face when the agent shared this finding with me. See, I replied with excitement. She got it, which meant I was off the hook and I had broken the language barrier. Yay me. Once we gathered ourselves, I took her by the hand and led her to the scene of the crime so she could erase for all posterity the work of our fecal Picasso and everyone could resume use of the bathroom without fear and trepidation. Hope you all enjoyed that take on Fecal Picasso. Love your podcast and look forward to every episode. Keep up the great work.
I love that story.
Fecal Picasso.
That's great.
Have you ever run into that sort of a thing at a workplace where somebody as poop?
Not at a workplace. I've seen that in restrooms, you know, on mm-hmm. road trips at gas stations and stuff, and I don't understand it, but I've seen, not to that extent, but definitely you can tell somebody got some on their hand and they didn't want to use toilet paper to get it off.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if it's like kind of on the seat or something and it's like, oh shit, somebody had something spicy. And it's like, but, and you know, the polite thing to do is you, once you're done, you look down and if there's anything there, you wipe it up. It's mm-hmm. just etiquette, mm-hmm. Which doesn't exist much anymore. But it's a whole other ball of what the fuck when you're somewhere and you look up and I don't think I've ever had this at a workplace, but I know I've seen it like, yeah, at, you know, public restrooms at one point or other. And it's like, there's no way in hell that was an accident.
No.
But why? I mean, it's gross to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have to like actually pick it up. Like anytime I had to pick up dog poop, I'd get grossed out. Then to think that you're like grabbing your own and you're like, oh, I'm going to go over here and write a message.
You know, I'm not going to give this person any benefit of the doubt, but I'm betting it wasn't let me just reach down there and grab a handful and make a thing. I think it was probably, it's on my hand. Might as well.
Just do like a design?
I guess. I don't know.
Mr. Scribble?
That's not something I understand. But that's so gross. But Fico Picasso is a pretty funny story.
I do. It'd be interesting to see or hear if anyone has ever had better artwork produced on their bathroom walls than this. Maybe there has been like some really good designs. It's like, oh my God, this is disgusting. But whoever is doing this has some talent. God. You walk away from it like that. Like, I'm not mad, everyone. I'm not mad. Whoever did that shit painting in the restroom, install number two. I know. I mean, we're going to narrow it down here. I know, Will, you had corn on the cob yesterday, and we got to admit there's a couple kernels in it. So, but I can't. There's a lot of you. I don't know what you guys ate at home. But, yeah. You got some talent, man. What are you doing here? I mean, you could go places.
You can't really stick that in your portfolio.
Take a picture. I don't know. Make a Facebook page.
Just Instagram your painting.
I think there is like an I think there actually is like an Instagram or a Facebook page. It probably doesn't exist anymore. This is like, I think, in more of the infancy of those platforms where it was somebody who literally just took pictures of their shit and posted it. Mm. Everyone. And mm-hmm. then, and it had a ton of followers, which you got to go, what the fuck? Why? I mean, it's one thing if you're like, really, this exists and you just kind of like lurk over to it just to see if it's real.
Yeah.
It's a whole other when you decide to click follow.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, okay, you've crossed the barrier on the line of you could probably be a shit Picasso yourself if you had a little talent. But yeah, 833-HATE-JOB. 833-HATE-JOB is our number here at Office Horror Stories. Letter says, I worked at a coffee shop for about 6 months. It was just me and the boss and a cook. She was a nice lady. We hit it off well at the start. She was a headstrong feminist, and I too, at a certain degree. We made sandwiches and $5 lunch specials and all kinds of stuff. We became pretty good friends quickly. The cook quit, and my boss told me I'd be cooking too. I told her I'm okay with that, but I'm not a pro. I learned some stuff over time, and over time, she started getting inappropriate with me. She was making sexual comments and flirting with me lots, but more in a creepy way. Like, I'd make a latte and hand the customer the drink, and she'd come up behind me, close, and say quietly in my ear, you better clean that dirty little milk stick. Did you like how I read that?
That's gross.
You better clean that dirty little milk stick. Is it like that? How do you think of it?
That's nasty.
Referring to the latte foamer. Whatever, I thought I was a little weirded out considering she was one of the things that we bonded over and how creepy her old boss and my old boss was. It was a bad winter, too, and whenever it snowed, she would be late, sometimes by hours, but I managed. So one day, she tells me to come in at 7 a.m. I said, cool, I'll be there, no problem. Woke up in the morning, maybe 2 feet visibility due to a serious snowstorm. Took me ages to get to work. Everything was slow. Got off the streetcar and walked because it was stuck. And 2 feet of snow made a very slow journey. I got to work about 7:30 and was yelled at big time. She was flipping out, saying my male arrogance was trampling her feminine something or other. I was totally caught off guard by this. I asked her if everything was okay, and that's it. And she started flipping out. No, it's not my time of the month, asshole, and fired me. So I called her a perverted old cunt and left. It was amazing. That's how the story ends. Jesus. I was expecting like they made up and it was all good and they had a scone.
You know, that's not something you hear much about the harassment going that direction.
Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. And that happens.
Yeah, it does. I can't say I've ever been the recipient of it. Probably a good thing.
I thought you had a boss's boss whose wife liked you.
A boss's boss whose wife liked me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not ringing a bell.
You've brought it up a couple of times.
A boss's boss whose wife liked me. I'm trying to think. I'll mute the mic. Tell me who. I'm trying to think what she would have. I don't remember the situation. I don't deny it, but... She was really, I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, this was like eons ago.
Okay.
We had not been together very long, and you mentioned
sure.
It. You were like, well, that could be a lawsuit.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I do. Okay. I don't remember what was said.
I don't.
Okay. I do vaguely remember. Cause
I want to say it had something to do with the shape of your butt, but I don't know for sure.
I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
Because I remember that she would get drunk at some things, mm-hmm. at events, and then say inappropriate things to staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember all the details anymore. Hey, I had a situation, but yeah. It wasn't like a direct boss though.
No, or, but
yeah. Close enough where it's like you can't really say anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do kind of remember that. I wish I remember the details. Clearly wasn't scarring enough.
But it was still more of the older female harassing the younger male.
Sure.
That's what
sure.
I was referring
yeah.
to.
Yeah. I've had plenty of situations where I was like in the situation of my boss was harassing our female staff.
Uh-huh.
And that's obviously very common.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get, I've gotten two fired for that.
Good.
Over my working career with other human beings, and eventually just got sick of working with other human beings. And that's why you're hearing this podcast, kids. No, I mean, there was some crazy shit. That's almost a reference back to the situation where I said we could probably exercise demons faster than we could exercise people, because mm-hmm. we literally had to get just a shitload of accounts from, because I would complain to HR all the time. Nothing. They love this guy. And it's like, what do you see in him? And then eventually it got so bad and he was starting to threaten to fire some of our female employees because they weren't taking his advances. They weren't receptive to his advances. And it's like, no, you're not going to fire our staff. And I'm like, okay, so I just went around like, everybody write down your shit. I know your stories, but put it in writing yourself. We are going to have a meeting with HR, and I called HR and I called the general manager and said, we are going to have a meeting in 2 hours in the conference room and you're going to be there or you're going to have a massive lawsuit on your hands.
Yeah.
Cause everybody was just fed up. Okay. We'll be there. So everybody showed up, laid out their shit. He was gone within the hour.
There you go.
So that's, I mean, evidence is key mm-hmm. with shit like that. You know, there is, of course, word of mouth and things of that nature. And that people put a lot more weight on that today than they used to.
Yeah.
Certainly. But at this point in time, it was like 2000, I don't know, early 2000s. And there was you could be screaming out loud, what the fuck is going on? And half the time you were ignored. It really took. And it was upsetting that it took me, you know, looking back on this, that all these women have these complaints and uh-huh. and HR just kind of would brush it. It took me, I was the male.
Yeah.
That I was the one that they finally listened to, which is complete bullshit. But that's what happened back then.
And that's what I was about to say. Yeah. And I'm not saying this just because we're married, but yeah. I think that because you went to bat for all these women that, you know, had gone and nothing else happened, because a male spoke up and said, yeah, that's totally happening. Yeah. That's what made all the difference.
I think the environment today is completely different and has changed. I hope.
In some places, yes, and not enough. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that I didn't even really think of it that way back then. It was just I was like the assistant to this person, or like the second in command. It was like his assistant. I was like, if this person was sick, it was like vice presidency almost.
Yeah.
And there was no other way to get heard. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, here we go. It was a dramatic day.
But you had to feel pretty good that you guys got that accomplished.
Yeah, I actually am. It's like, it's kind of funny because I look back on like stuff that I've done in like my like professional life. I'm like, I'm actually, that's kind of one of those things. I'm like, it's a moral victory.
Mm-hmm.
And the way my mind works, I'm always like going out for the justice type thing. And that was like, yes.
You got it.
Better than some other things that have happened. So, yeah, it was an interesting one. Can't make that shit up. There was a lot of that being said at that workplace. So, anyway, that'll wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. Got one? Share it with us, 833-HATE-JOB, or on the website, officehorrorstories.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Office Horror Stories.